Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing today? I am so excited because tomorrow, which is Saturday the 13th, is the last day to enroll in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, which is my 12-week group coaching program. And currently at the time of recording this, there are a few spots left, but that might be very different when it comes out on Friday, when this episode comes out. So I apologize if you're hearing this and all the space has already gone, but hopefully there's still some spaces left for you. And if there are spots left, what the hell are you waiting for? Go and grab one. I will put the link in the show notes so you can go and click there and grab your spot. There's already so many amazing people signed up who are excited and ready to do the work, which always really excites me and reminds me, you know, why I do this work. I remember throughout most of my teens and 20s just being so, so afraid in all of my relationships. Every day I felt like it was a battle. And that might sound dramatic, but it really felt like every day was a battle between me and my mind. And I was so, so afraid of people being mad at me or friends leaving me out or not wanting to hang out with me anymore or my girlfriend cheating on me or fancying someone else. I remember when she'd say she had a new work colleague, frantically trying to find this person on Instagram to see how attractive she was. And if she'd say she was working late and sent me a picture of her computer to show me whatever the project was she was working on, I'd zoom in to check the time to make sure that she'd actually taken the picture then and there and wasn't lying to me about where she was. My brain just would not stop. It was on red alert all of the time. It was so, so afraid. And I tried counseling. I tried reading self-help books. I listened to podcasts. And finally, I found a podcast by a coach who was trained at the place where I have now trained. Because the tools that she talked about and the concepts and the way she talked about mind management absolutely blew my mind. It really did. And I signed up for her program and I made huge changes in my mindset and finally overcame all of the fears and insecurities. And it was so life-changing that I decided to change my own career, quit my job and train to become a life coach too, because I just knew that I had to share what I'd learned and help other people who were dealing with exactly what I'd been dealing with for over a decade. But the most important thing that happened in my journey was actually applying what I'd learned. It's one thing to read and listen and understand things conceptually, but it's a totally other thing to actually apply the tools and concepts and apply them to your own unique brain and situations. And application is really the key in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. I'm going to not only teach you about the tools and concepts and really dive deeper with them, but actually help you to apply them to your own brain in a way that you may be struggling to do right now. And of course, I will tell you a little bit more about the details of the program and how you can find out more at the end of this episode. But for now, let's dive into today's episode, because I know it's one a lot of you will be just dying to listen to. And that is the topic of overthinking. Do you ever feel like your brain is just spiraling and spiraling and there's just no way out of it? I have had this experience a lot in my life, and for me, there's times where my overthinking feels like it turns up a notch. And the way I've described it to people in the past is like a key is turned in a lock and it's jammed and I can't turn it back the other way. That's how my brain feels. And it's a strange metaphor, I know, but it's what comes into my head. You know, that feeling when your brain is just going over and over the same details again and again, and you feel like you've solved the problem, but your brain can't stop replaying the same thoughts, going over it over and over. For me, sometimes it's like a checking thing, like I have to keep going over the same thought or problem to try to fix or solve something, but there's nothing actually there for me to fix or solve. And I think that's the main thing about overthinking. It's actually trying to fix a problem that there's no solution to. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. The main thing about overthinking is it's trying to fix a problem that there's no solution to. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I saw something on Instagram the other day that said, overthinking is underfeeling. And that really summed it up for me. We overthink when we're trying to escape a negative emotion. So our brains might have predicted that we might have to feel a negative emotion in the future. And so it's trying to think our way out of it right now. Or we're feeling a negative emotion now, and that's what we're trying to think our way out of. Like, maybe if I draw over these 5 painful thoughts and think about the way I sounded in that interview or what I could have said differently in that argument with my partner, then I can stop feeling so bad, then I can stop feeling so shameful or embarrassed or whatever it is. So that's an important thing to remember, that you're trying to escape a negative emotion. Maybe it's uncertainty and the anxiety that comes along with that. For a lot of my clients, that's exactly what they're trying to escape, that feeling of sitting with the fact that they don't know what's going to happen and allowing the anxiety of that to be in their bodies and just be present with it. This is where, of course, processing emotions is so, so important. And I have a podcast that teaches you all about that, which is episode number 5. So definitely go and check that one out if you haven't already. But really, processing an emotion just involves noticing where the sensation is, and observing it, watching how it feels, keeping all your attention on the sensation and mentally giving it permission to be there. When I do this, when I have anxiety in my chest, I like to imagine that with every breath, my chest is expanding to make room for the sensation. Sometimes I even place my hand on my chest too, which is really, really powerful and comforting. And in today's episode, I wanted to talk about something called cognitive diffusion, which is a name for a concept that is taught in acceptance and commitment therapy, which I believe is abbreviated to ACT, just like CBT. And in fact, ACT is very similar to CBT and shares a lot of the same principles to do with thoughts, creating feelings, driving behavior, which of course, if you're not new to this podcast, you already know that's the vibe we like to roll with here. And I first heard about ACT when I was reading a book by Russ Harris called The Happiness Trap, which I definitely recommend to you if you struggle with overthinking. It's a really, really great book with some really great techniques in. So cognitive diffusion is a technique that Russ talks about in his book that helps us to separate ourselves from our thoughts and take the power away from them. And online, it describes it as seeing thoughts as just thoughts, not facts, and learning how to detach from beliefs that are not serving you well. And this is such a crucial thing that I work on with all of my clients, this idea of becoming the observer of their thoughts instead of being their thoughts, instead of seeing their thoughts as them or as reality. And there's a few techniques I'm going to share with you to help you do that. Some of them I've learned from Russ Harris and his book, The Happiness Trap. Others I've learned from researching more about acceptance and commitment therapy. And some have been ones I've stumbled upon while trying to navigate my own messy brain, and I've realized that they've worked wonders for me. So let's just dive straight in. Number one, the first technique is noticing. So saying things to yourself like, I notice I'm having the thought, and then saying the thought, or I notice my brain really wants to overthink this right now, or I notice my brain is having a lot of thoughts about this, whatever it is. So it could be, you know, I notice I'm having the thought that they don't like me. Or I notice that my brain is having a lot of thoughts about the future of my relationship. When you do this, you're instantly separating yourself from those thoughts. You're positioning yourself as the observer of them, which takes away some of the intensity. Number two is singing your overthinking thoughts to a familiar tune, like maybe to Happy Birthday or Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, something like that. For example, if your brain keeps telling you, he's going to cheat on me, what if he does? I can't handle it. You could sing, brace yourself for my singing voice. He's going to cheat on me, what if he does? Okay, I'm not going to force you to listen to any more of my singing voice, but you get the drift. Sing the thoughts that you're overthinking to a tune that you know well. Happy Birthday, Twinkle Twinkle, Three Blind Mice, whatever it is. And when I've done this myself, might sound like a very strange technique, but when I've done this myself, I instantly feel a bit of relief because I find myself laughing for starters because it's very silly and weird. And secondly, what it does that's so powerful is it takes the sentences that were causing so much pain and anxiety and it completely changes the context of them in your brain. It's like the thought is played out and we've just molded it to make it something a lot less threatening. Again, it separates you from the sentences and it diffuses their power. Number three is saying your overthinking thoughts in a funny voice. This one is another good one, and I remember reading this in Russ Harris's book. I think I read it in his book anyway. And he said he used to use this with people struggling with phobias of flying. So he was working with a woman who would go into panic mode the minute that a plane took off and she was on the plane. And he said to her, "What is your brain saying to you when that happens?" And she replied and said, "It says we're all going to die." And so he had her repeat the thought to herself when she was next on an airplane, but in the voice of Mickey Mouse. And apparently it worked wonders because she found it funny. It instantly brought a smile to her face when she heard Mickey Mouse's voice saying, "We're all going to die." That was an awful Mickey Mouse impression. And so instantly her body began to settle a little. It instantly changed the perspective of that voice. It broke her out of that panic. So I want you to give this a try. Whatever those scary thoughts are right now that you keep saying to yourself over and over, just repeat them to yourself right now in the voice of your favorite cartoon character or your favorite film character and just see what happens. Another great thought diffusion technique you can try is labeling the thoughts. So if you're familiar with cognitive distortions, which are types of thought errors taught in CBT, you could use those to label your thoughts. So this is black and white thinking, or this is future predicting, or this is jumping to conclusions. Or you can just come up with your own labels. So for me, it might be something like, this is doom and gloom thinking, when my brain is predicting a negative outcome that it doesn't even know is definitely going to happen. I can notice that and say, okay, my brain is doom and gloom thinking, and just really label those thoughts. Or a coach I love called Corinne Crabtree uses the phrase poo-poo thoughts, which is just her term for shitty negative thoughts that serve no purpose. So you could do that. You could say, okay, here's my poo-poo thoughts. Or it could be, here's my fear of rejection thoughts, or here's my brain's favorite anxious story. And I often get my clients to do this within our sessions. If we're working on a particular thought pattern and we've been working on it for a while, so we know it's one that their brain really likes, it's one of their brain's favorites, their brain's favorite anxious stories, I get them to practice just noticing it and labeling it, calling it out, literally saying to themselves when it comes up, "Oh, here's my brain's favorite anxious story. Hello again, old friend." Again, the aim behind doing all of this is to help you diffuse the power of the sentences in your brain and take a step back from them. Doing things like challenging the thoughts and practicing new thoughts can also be incredibly powerful, but often when we're all caught up in our overthinking, we're just going round and round in circles and we need to do something to break the cycle first. And that's what these techniques are. They're just cycle breakers. They act as a way of repositioning you as the observer of the thought and get some distance and perspective on it. Okay, another technique could be to narrate and normalize. So this is about stepping back and imagining you're watching your brain from a distance and just narrating what's happening and normalizing the fact that it is. So for example, my brain is overthinking what my partner might do on this night out because it's really afraid of rejection and wants to keep me safe. So that's you just noticing what is happening and why. You could say, you know, my brain doesn't think I could handle it if they do cheat. So it makes total sense my brain would want to overthink this. And when you do this, you're not fighting with the thought or trying to get rid of it. You're totally acknowledging and normalizing the thoughts being there. You're not freaking out or reacting to your brain. You're observing what's happening neutrally without fanning the flames. And again, if some of my clients are listening now and thinking, but you encourage us to challenge your thoughts, you're right, I do encourage you to do that. And that is also really important. But before we can do that, we have to calm our nervous systems down a little and pull ourselves back to being the observer of the thoughts at a distance. And these techniques are just ways of doing that, stepping back and diffusing the thoughts so that you can perhaps challenge them and work on them if you choose to. Okay, technique number six is one that I find extremely useful in my own self-coaching, and I use it when my brain is in overthinking mode, and that is asking myself, what can I control here? When my brain is overthinking outcomes and fearing the worst or replaying things over and over, this question is like a short, sharp wake-up call, and it always directs me down a more useful path. For example, If right now you're worrying that your partner's drinking is going to keep getting worse and that you'll eventually want to divorce them, you can keep ruminating over what ifs and replaying scenarios and going over the same situations and facts over and over. Or you can ask yourself, what can I control here? And focus all of your attention on that and nothing else. Like controlling how you show up, the kind of partner that you are, the way you speak to yourself and support yourself, your belief in yourself to handle the worst case scenario, how you would show up to handle the breakup. All of those things are within your control and are a much better focus for you to think about intentionally than ruminating on things that you have zero control over. So number 7 is a technique that makes me laugh and is one that only came to me a few weeks ago. And I was doing some self-coaching on some of my own limiting beliefs and negative thoughts because yes, even though I'm a coach, my brain still needs a lot of mind management and coaching. And it still likes to be a negative Nelly and be afraid and tell me I can't do things just like yours. And so when I was writing out these negative thoughts and doing a thought download and really looking at them, when I reflected on them, a little vision of a tiny green witch came into my mind. Yes, I just said a tiny green witch. Stay with me. And I imagined this tiny green witch sat on the desk in front of me, saying these negative things to me. And I think part of what inspired this was actually RuPaul's Drag Race, which me and my fiancé have been watching a lot of at the moment. And they always talk on Drag Race about the inner saboteur. I feel like I'm not saying that right. But it's that inner voice that tells you that you can't, tells you that you're not good enough and that it's never going to work. And it's this voice that encourages us to be afraid and stay in our comfort zone. And I really related to this idea of the inner saboteur while watching RuPaul's Drag Race. And so this little green witch was really like my visual representation of my inner saboteur, of that little voice telling me that I can't and telling me that I'm not good enough. And so now when I have mean thoughts about myself or that little I can't attitude kicks in, I imagine this little green witch sitting on my desk in front of me saying those words to me. And it might sound strange, but again, I'm separating myself from that voice. I'm hearing it and acknowledging it, but it's not coming from me. It's a sentence coming from my brain. And just because this little green witch is saying these things to me doesn't make them true. I can just be like, oh, there she is again, that damn old witch trying to tear me down. I've also heard other people think about this as if it's a bully. So imagining this voice inside of you as this mean bully and really thinking about how would you want to stand up to a bully? You know, how would you want to respond to that bully every time it pipes up and tells you that you're not good enough or that you're never going to achieve whatever it is that you want to achieve? What would you want to say to that voice? You could also name your anxious or critical voice. I used to call my anxious voice Anxious Annie. So when my anxiety would kick in, I'd say, oh, here's Anxious Annie. Here's an update from Anxious Annie on its way. And it lightened the whole experience and reminded me that sentences and feelings aren't facts and that what I was experiencing was just an anxious voice talking to me. It wasn't actually me and it wasn't actually reality. And another technique I'd like to share with you, which might be more useful for those of you that are quite visual, is visualization. So let's say you're overthinking and worrying about something that may or may not happen in the future. You're anxiously thinking about it. I want you to close your eyes right now and imagine the worst case scenario happening. Really imagine it. Let the whole scary horror movie play in your mind. Let it play out. And then I want you to visualize yourself showing up to deal with that situation. And maybe you can use the following questions to guide you on this. What would you like to say to yourself if this happened? How would you like to show up for yourself? And I want you to visualize yourself really doing that. Maybe if you're afraid of being cheated on, you imagine yourself being kind and compassionate and loving to yourself, telling yourself this wasn't your fault, that you are 100% lovable. Really practice imagining that worst case scenario and practice feeling that love and acceptance towards yourself. This is really important because the brain doesn't know the difference between something you're imagining and something that's really happening. So when you practice being loving towards yourself ahead of time, your brain will respond to that. Then imagine what you would do next. Would you turn to friends for support? Would you take some time to process and look after yourself? Don't do this in a way that panics and scares you. I'm not saying you have to know exactly what you'd do next or how exactly you'd respond. This is about visualizing yourself handling whatever it is. So if you don't know exactly what you'd do, maybe you can visualize yourself taking the time to work it out. Imagine yourself journaling and talking to friends, all the while focusing on how you want to feel doing these things. And that's the key thing here. If you just visualize yourself handling this situation while being completely anxious and terrified, that is not useful. So really consider, what emotion would I want to feel if this happened? And how can I imagine dealing with this while feeling that emotion? What would I be thinking if I was really feeling that way? What thoughts would I be believing? And another cool technique I learned while doing my NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming training, was the idea of using images to create different emotional states. And one thing they teach you to do is you imagine a situation, it could be from the past or from the future, and think about that situation playing out on a screen in front of you. And then imagine that image becoming lighter and more colorful. And I don't know about you, but when I imagine bad things happening in the future, what I'm imagining is always dark and grey and miserable looking. Like I'm sat on my bed feeling miserable and it's dark and gloomy and I'm crying and everything's gone wrong and I'm just not handling it well. But if I imagine it and I make that image lighter and brighter and warmer, instantly the scenario seems less awful. It maybe seems like something I could manage. And that sounds strange and you may be thinking, Rebecca, what are you on about? But give this a try. Picture that worst case scenario and then try and brighten the image in your mind. Imagine it getting more colourful, more vibrant, and just see if that works for your brain. It might not, but give it a try. And finally, number 9, this is one that I've kind of come up with while I've been drafting this episode, so I'm going to call it, what if I was willing? And what I mean by this is whatever the negative emotion is you're trying to escape, whether it's a feeling you're trying to avoid having in the present moment or one you're afraid to have in the future if something bad happens, ask yourself, what if I was willing to have it? For example, if right now you're overthinking the way you spoke and the things you said on a first date, ask yourself, what is the emotion I'm trying to escape having here? And what if I was willing to just sit and have it? What if I was willing to feel embarrassed or ashamed or sad? What if I was willing to have those emotions in my body and I knew I could handle feeling them and that they didn't mean anything had gone wrong? Or maybe if you're overthinking whether your partner is lying to you, ask yourself, what emotion am I trying to escape here? Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's grief if you find out that it's true that they are lying. Maybe it's pain and heartbreak. Ask yourself, what if I was willing to have those emotions if I ever needed to? What if you believed if push came to shove, you could totally handle feeling pain and negative emotion and survive them and get through to the other side of them and bounce back stronger in a way that you can't even imagine doing right now? Really ask yourself that. What if I was willing? Now remember, not all of these techniques will work for you. You might try some and be like, what the hell is Rebecca on about? This does not help me at all. Or you might stumble upon one that is a game changer and something you can implement whenever you're overthinking in the future. So try them all and take what works and leave what doesn't. There's also other ideas that are part of ACT's cognitive diffusion techniques. Things like imagining your thought in a bubble and then bursting the bubble, or imagining your thoughts are clouds and watching them drift away. I'll be honest, those techniques have never worked with me and my unique brain. But like I said, that doesn't mean it won't work for you. We all have very different brains that respond differently to different techniques, so give them a try. And if you want to read more about ACT and these kinds of thought diffusion techniques, I highly recommend Russ Harris's book, The Happiness Trap. I've not read it for a good few years, actually, so I'm probably due a reread of it soon because I know that I learned so, so much the first time I read it. And so there you have it. Some quick, fun overthinking hacks for you to try. And if overthinking is something you struggle with and you often feel unable to manage your anxious thoughts, especially in your relationships, then my 12-week group coaching program could not come at a better time for you. Doors to enroll in Master Your Relationship Mind Drama close tomorrow on Saturday the 13th of January, and spots are limited. Throughout the program, you're going to learn all about the tools and concepts that I discuss on this podcast and on my Instagram, but you're going to learn about them on a much deeper level. And you're going to learn how to actually apply them to your own unique situations and your own unique brain. We're going to begin next week, so the week of the 15th. And you'll get to choose between a group that's on Mondays at 12 p.m. GMT, which is UK time, or Tuesdays at 7 p.m. GMT. Every round I have people from all over the world because it takes place solely on Zoom. So don't panic if you're not from the UK. Just convert those times into your own time zone and see which works best for you. And when you sign up, I will ask you which group you'd like to be in based on your time zone and scheduling. Throughout the program, we meet every week for 90 minutes on those set group times. And each week we'll be covering a different part of my online program, which of course you also get access to when you enroll. We'll be covering things like processing emotions, managing and challenging your thoughts, manuals and expectations of others, people pleasing, boundaries, all of which are modules within the online course that you'll be able to go through, listen to little mini podcasts and recordings and do the worksheets within each section. So there's so much supporting material to really help you get the most out of the concepts and the tools. As well as the group calls and the access to my online program, you also get 3 one-on-ones with me across the 12 weeks, plus access to a Facebook group where I will be able to support you and provide feedback for you in between our sessions. And of course, you'll also be able to go in there and support the other members and cheer them on along their journeys too. I'll put the link with all the details and the frequently asked questions in the information section of this episode. So definitely go and check that out and make sure you go and grab your spot. And if you have any questions at all, either come and find me on Instagram or email me at rebecca@rebeccaorcoaching.com. And finally, if you love this podcast, please go and give it a little rating from wherever you are listening from. It would mean the world to me. Okay, guys, I hope you have an amazing weekend and I hope to see you in my group coaching program. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca Orr Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.